the things away, and you're thinking maybe not for 11 months or however long it will be for you. But tonight I want us to look at, in this one message tonight, as we come to the Christmas season, come to the climax and have come to the climax of it. But I want to look at tonight, out of the Gospel of Luke, some life lessons from the Christmas story. You know, sadly, oftentimes in the midst of the Christmas story, we're in a hustle, we're in a bustle, and we hear, but we don't listen. We hear cantatas, we hear presentations, we attend all those things, but sometimes, oftentimes, maybe after the fact, we really begin to think about what all has taken place. And so, if you will, take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And tonight I want us to look for this period of time, life lessons from the Christmas story. In other words, those life lessons that you and I need to carry into our life and need to realize every day of our life that stem out of God's wonderful redemptive story in the coming of Christ. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, follow along in your outline, and you have two of those. One in the King James and one in the Living Bible. That way you have a chance to see it in a little more common vernacular. But the Bible says these words. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And his name shall be called Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, whenever you read the Christmas story, wherever you read it, whether you read it out of the Gospel of Luke or you read it out of the Gospel of Matthew, over and over, there's so many, many wonderful truths that you and I can glean. Literally, there are thousands and thousands and thousands multiplied millions of truths that you could learn and glean if we had centuries and years, and that's one of the wonders of eternity. You're always going to have the privilege to learn in eternity. You know, you're not going to know everything when you get to heaven. Some people say, you know, when I get to heaven, what am I going to do? I'm going to know everything. No, you're not. You're going to be an individual who has a mind, and you're going to have the ability to comprehend, and you're going to learn, continue to learn all throughout of eternity. Well, there are thousands of life lessons that God gives us in and through the Christmas narrative, but tonight I want to just give you some real basic life lessons that you and I really need to glean as we walk through our everyday life, because these are lessons we really need. They're what we really need whenever it comes to the everyday walk of life so we can live the life that God has purposed for us to live. Whenever you read the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story, wherever you read it from, Luke or Matthew or any other account that is found throughout Scripture, one of the realities that you and I come to realize is this. God has a love for you and a love for me that we really cannot comprehend. Now, one of the realities, we know it, we say it, we hear it, but here is something you really, and I really struggle with, is really getting a handle on the very fact of this. God always is going to love me. The reality of Scripture is God is always going to love, not only love me, but He's going to love me every single day. And with the love of God, He's always going to put that into motion. He's always going to make that personal, and it's always going to be very real and very relevant. You know, whenever you look at the Christmas story, the truth is, it's the sobering reality that God will literally do whatever He needs to do in order that He can provide for mankind redemption and a relationship with Himself. Now, one of the things we say the love of God, and then we just sort of go on our way. But hold on for just a moment. Here's why. When you got married, if you're married, one of the reasons you got married is because you loved that man or that woman, and you didn't want to live your life without them. Because there was that knitness between you and them, and there was that love. You wanted to enjoy every day with that person because of love. You wanted to live your life with them. You wanted to have children with them. You wanted to get older with them. You wanted to grow old with them out of the very reality of love. Now, one of the struggles that we have, we sometimes say love whenever it comes to God and us, and it's sort of in a sterile way. But have you ever stopped to think of this? Number one, God can never change. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that the very character and the very nature of God is there is no variance of changing in Him. There is no way that God will ever change. So what that means is every single passing day, God is going to always love you with a love that is incomprehensible on your end. In other words, you're never going to comprehend it. That's one of the reasons you're going to live throughout all of eternity with the Lord. It's going to take you an eternity to grasp the love of God. But here's where it gets real personal. Do you realize that God can never change? So, since God is a never-changing God, let me ask you this question. Is God a personal God or an impersonal God? Which one is He? Personal. So do you realize that God is a loving, personal, intimate God, and He is going to always demonstrate that to you and to your life, and every single day of your life, you're going to wake up, and there's always going to be the love of God directed towards your life. So here's how it carries out in your life. And I challenge you to do this and do it for 7 days. Every morning you get up, just say, God, You love me. And today You're going to guide me into Your best. Now, is that made up? No, that's the very word of God. Because if God would not withhold His only begotten Son and give His very Son for you and me, then there's nothing He's going to withhold. And you see, the reality is, sometimes you hear somebody say, well, you know, I really just don't know if God loves me. God can never not love you. So what that means with every single tick of the clock, every single day, God is directing His love to your life, and He is engineering everything that happens in your life out of love. So what does that mean? If this year finds doors closing for your life in some way, have you ever stopped to think that God closes doors out of love? Have you ever stopped to think that God closes a relationship? Maybe, you know, you're wanting to date a certain person, you're wanting to go with somebody, and God closes that door out of love. Or God closes a job opportunity, and He closes it out of love. Or God opens an opportunity out of love. One of the things that we struggle with is really understanding and comprehending the love of God. And one of the life lessons, when it gets deep in your soul and you realize, God, everything You're going to do for me today is going to be out of love. It's amazing how much we'll quit fighting God. Think about it a minute. Why would you fight God if He says, I love you and I'm going to give you the absolute best? Let me show you how ridiculous it is. I call Charlotte up or she calls me up and she says, honey, what do you want for supper? And I'm right in the middle of doing something. I said, how dare you call me asking me such a ridiculous thing, what I want for supper? You're trying to be good to me and kind to me. I want you to know I'm going to hang up the phone right now because you've interrupted me. You say, how rude. But think about what we do to God. We'll fight God. We'll say, you know what? I tried to get around doing that. Why would you resist someone that absolutely loves you with every fiber of His eternal, omnipotent, holy nature? Think about it. You wouldn't give your child for somebody to die, but the creator of the universe gave his only begotten son for you. Now think about it. If he'll do that, what else will he not withhold from you? Every good gift he wants you to experience. And sadly, so many people have an idea of God that he's a hard, harsh, dogmatic, domineering God. And he's not going to, listen, everything he's going to do into and for your life is going to be engineered, generated out of love. And you look back over your life, think about this for a moment. Go back and review just some things in your life. Aren't you glad, now don't you answer this out loud, aren't you glad you didn't marry so-and-so? You remember that one maybe you dated years and years and years and years ago, and you think, thank the Lord I didn't marry him. Or thank the Lord I didn't marry her. Or thank the Lord God brought this spouse to me right on in time. Why? Because God, watch this, God was directing your life. You say, man, I almost made a mistake. Listen, you have really got to fight against God to wreck your life. And yet there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that fight and they'll do all the, listen, God is going to engineer this year in your life, and here's what he's going to do. Every moment you wake up and you stop and think, God, you love me and you're going to do everything good for me. You're going to do it out of love. Yes, I'm going to guide you out of love. I'm going to lead you out of love. I'm going to discipline you out of love. Now, we don't like that one. We know that. But think about it. Are you not glad that your parents disciplined you when you was a kid? Oh, I'm so glad when I see some individuals and some parents who let their kids go wild today. I almost want to say, oh, now I don't want to go back through it again. You know, you don't want to be, but you're thankful for what your parents do. And they love you and they don't let you get by. And here's what the Father says. I love you and I'm not going to let you wreck your life. And so one of the realities is God has a love for you and me that we will never comprehend. And it's not only that he just, you know, because we think, well, God loves us, but here's the reality. Since God loves us, and you said it just a moment ago, God is not an impersonal God. He must always demonstrate his love to you personally. I can go back and think about things in my life and what God has done and how he's directed. And I thought, God, why did you do that? I love you. God, why did you bring me to a certain situation and a certain place and bring a certain woman across my life who knows me and loves me just for me? Because I love you. Why did you bring into my life a precious little girl that I could put my life in and love her and because I love you? Why did you bring me beside the different churches that I've pastored? Because I love you. And you see, when you stop and realize this God whom you serve is very intimately personal, there, it's amazing what you'll stop doing, what we'll stop doing. We won't fight. We'll say, because if the Lord leads you, he's never going to lead you to wreck your life. It's amazing some people treat God, now listen to me real carefully, some people treat God like he's their adversary. Oh, God, please don't make me do this. Please don't make me do this. He's never going to hurt you. That is the nature of God. Why? He can't. That is because, and we sing the song, you know, God is love. But we have a hard time, you know why? Because we don't have very many people in our life who love us just to love us. You know what we always say if somebody starts getting close? Okay, what do you want out of me? All right, how much money do you need? You want my credit card? You know, somebody's always in. But you know what? That's not the nature of God. He don't love you to get something out of you. He don't love you to say, all right, I want you to put more money in the offering plate. I want you to go to church more often. One of the awesome realities of God is this. He loves you just to love you. I don't know about you, but there is no more wonderful feeling to knowing that God loves you just because he loves you. Well, and listen to what the Bible says in John 3:16. You know it and I know it. For God so loved the world that he gave. In other words, it's the nature of God. Every time he loves, he gives. You can tell a loving person, number one, by what they give. You know, what are they willing to give? God gave his son, Jesus Christ. And it wasn't for Christmas stories. Now, don't misunderstand. You know, we have a lot of cantatas. We have a lot of stories, and they're wonderful. They're good. But don't ever forget to not to and miss the main point. Always go to the reality of the end, the redemption, that he could taste death, that he could experience death so you and I wouldn't. Well, second of all, God's priority in life is to love us and reveal that love to us in personal and intimate ways. Now, similar to what I just shared, but here's the reality. When you allow yourself to think that the God of all creation has a priority over your life to love you, God's priority is to love me? Yes. Now, think about this. Here is the sovereign of the universe. He is sovereign. And that means he commands everything at his disposal. Do you understand? He is the sovereign. Think about it a moment. When you can create something out of nothing, when you can create a world out of nothing because there was nothing there to create anything out of, and there was no dust to create anything, there was no hydrogen molecules. Like some people say, you know, the world was created 12.5 billion years ago and it began by an explosion and all the hydrogen molecules became little particles of dust, and those little particles of dust became stars, and those stars became planets, and there was only one that could be inhabited, and it came to pass about 3.8 million years ago. That's baloney. Why? Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Now think about it. When you can create a world, you're the sovereign. And we're probably going to look into it in a few weeks, but he commands everything at his disposal. I don't know if you've ever gone through Scripture and noticed God commands the animals for his purposes. There's a passage of Scripture, and it's in Kings, and God is telling Elijah, he's telling him to go to a certain place, and he said, I will command the ravens to feed you there. God told Noah to build the ark, and God commanded the animals to come in. Why? Because he's the sovereign. He has the absolute right to control. Not only does he control animals, he controls everything. And one of the realities you and I need to realize is this. God's priority in life is to love us. Now notice what I did not say so you won't miss it. God's priority in life is not to teach you religious things. John 3:16 says it. Deuteronomy 6:4 says it. All throughout the Scripture. Paul was captivated by the love of God because why should God love you and me? Why should the creator of the universe want to know you and me by name? But here's the reality. And this is what's up. You know, you may not be known by a whole lot of people, but here's the reality. God knows you and me by name. That's how personal he is. You remember in the book of Exodus, God had Moses and he was by the burning bush. And you remember what God said first? He said, Moses. Moses. In other words, I know your name. The God who created you and me, he's personal. And here's the reality. Because God is personal, he can never change. And God is always going to be personal to you. He's always going to be personal to me. And he's always going to personally love us. And, you know, put in a simple way, God used Jesus to relate to the world, the awesome and the wonderful love he has for you. How would you know how much God loves you if you could not have the Christmas story? You say, well, you know, Moses said it and other people said it. You would never know the depth of the love of God without Jesus Christ. And Jesus was not a human being. Don't you ever think that Jesus was a human being. Because to have a human being, you know the reality. You know the medical reality of what you've got to have a human being. You've got to have a human dad and you've got to have a human mom to have another human being. Jesus had no human father. The Holy Spirit was his father. And you see, why in the world would God take the initiative? Because of his infinite love. And you see, here's what we do. We say it, but when you start personalizing, I guarantee you, if you'll start personalizing the love of God, and you say, Father, since you love me, you know, here's some things that I sense I need. You start treating God as though he really loves you, it's amazing what will happen in your life. You start living your life, and not like God's trying to give you rules and regulations and all these different things. And sadly, that's what so many people miss out on. They feel like all God's wanting to do is give them rules and regulations, and they feel like he's some type of military father. And that's really, when I talk to some people and counsel folks, it's amazing that that's their mindset. That's not the God of Scripture. You see, the reality is God's priority in life is to love us. And when I realize that, you know, you'll give all your needs to him. You'll give all your situations. And Mary realized that God in his infinite grace showed his love to her and she bore the Christ. And number three, God's love for us always causes him to give his best for us. You know, We hear the story of Christmas, but I want you to listen to this principle. God's love for us always. When did God ever give you second best? And I can tell you when he gave it to you. Never. Do you know why he cannot? Number one, it violates the character of God to give to any of his children second best. We can manipulate. We can do all sorts of things. And when you look at the nativity, when you look at the birth of Christ, you realize that is the very nature of God. He gives his best. Think about it. Mankind was sinning. Mankind was living wickedly. Mankind was doing all sorts of ungodly things. And God released his best. Why? Because that is the character of God. When you realize as you pray, as you walk with God, as you talk to God, as you live your life, you realize, God, you know, and when you realize, God, you're going to give your best. You always, that's the character of God. Why? Because his character can't change. And you see, the story of Christmas is the revelation that God moves heaven and earth, if necessary, to accomplish his will. So many other things in the Christmas story, but God literally moved heaven and earth. Why? Because there was no way for you to be rescued. Now, think about this for just a few seconds. Extract Jesus from the world, and what are you and what am I? We're in a mess. You have no hope. You have no redemption. You sure don't have any assurance of heaven. And the penalty of God's wrath rests upon you. What that means is you and I will be destroyed. But enter Jesus into, why? Because that is the nature of God. And when you look at God giving his best, why? One of the things that is amazing, people want to give God second, third, fourth, fifth, 50th best. Why would you want to ever give God 50th best when he will not ever, under any circumstances, he cannot, it violates his nature and his character to release to you anything but his best. So what that means, and I love to tell young people this, because it's so true. Do you realize if you pray and ask God for a spouse, he's going to give you the best? If you pray and ask God for a husband, for a wife, for a job, for a career, and wait on God, it will always be the best. Why? Because he cannot violate himself. He cannot violate his character. And so, you know, it is the reality. God's love for us always. And when you think about the Christmas story, it's the revelation that God was pursuing mankind. You never sought after God. You know, some people will say, well, you know, I found the Lord. No, you didn't. Not a single one of you ever found the Lord. You know why? Because you never was looking for him. You say, oh, yes, I did. I wanted to know about God. No, you didn't. Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us. Not a single one of us was searching for God. You say, well, why did I start coming to church? Because God was working in your heart. God was drawing in your spirit. God was moving in your soul. The Bible says no one comes to God unless he's drawn. And you see, God took the initiative. God took the initiative in the redemption story. Why? Because that's the nature of God. It's always the nature of God to initiate his best for your life. And when you think about it, you mean God will initiate his best for my life, not only today, but tomorrow, next week, next year, year after? Absolutely. Why? Because he can never change. Turn to Malachi for just a moment. Malachi, and I believe it's the third chapter. Malachi chapter 3 for a moment. Malachi is the prophet of God, and he's writing, and this is a timeless and eternal revelation that God has given to Malachi. And listen to Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change what? Not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. In the very first phrase, though, he said, I change not. So here's the reality. It is always going to be God's nature to guide you into the best. And some people say, well, now I just don't know about that. You know, all I can tell you this, and I can see so many people fighting against it. They say, well, I just don't know, and they go off on their own, and they do their own thing and live their own life the way they want to. They're violating the will of God. You can't ever miss out waiting on God. That's why sometimes I'll tell individuals they're praying about a job or praying about a career, praying about a spouse. I say, wait on the Lord. Now, it's a whole lot easier if you've been married for a number of years to say that and to be single. but it's the truth. And if you and I live our lives with this reality, God, you mean you're always going to cause yourself to give me the best as I obey you? Yes. I was reading a verse today. It's found in the latter chapters of Deuteronomy. Moses is getting ready to be buried by the Lord. He's getting ready to go up to the mount. But there is a verse that says this about Moses. Moses is 120 years old, but his eyes were not dim, and he was as strong as a young man. Why? Because he followed God. He made it his business every day of his life to obey the living God. And I've pondered, I thought, what happened and what would happen in the life of a single person if they purposed every day to obey the living God? It's amazing what God does through that person, because the Bible makes it clear God's love for us causes. Now, God don't give you something because he has to. It's the nature of God, and that's something you need to get in your spirit. Well, number four, God takes great delight in giving us his best. Sometimes we have this picture in our mind, well, you know, God's got to give us because he's got to do it. You know, like somebody's forcing, God's never forced to do anything. That's what the word sovereign means. He is sovereign. He is holy God. And when you look in the Christmas story, here's the reality. God bringing his son into the world through the conception of the Holy Spirit and a Virgin Mary to eventually 33 and a half years later to go outside of Jerusalem to be executed. Why? Folks, there's only one simple explanation. It is in the heart delight of God to bring into your life and my life his absolute best. What good thing was you doing when you got saved? Was you giving out quilts to people? Was you handing out money to people? No, think about it tonight. Have you ever stopped to think, and this is the grace of God that baffles me. People tonight are cursing the name of God, right? They're using the oxygen that God gives them to breathe. They're using the brain cells that God gives them. They're using the blood system that God is flowing through their body. And at the same time he's giving them breath, he's giving them a brain, he's giving them body, he's giving them blood, they're in turn cursing him, and he is still gracing them every moment. Why? If he didn't, they'd drop over dead. It is the nature of God. He takes great delight in giving you and me his very best. Why? He delighted in giving you and me his son. You know, sometimes we think, well, God was up in heaven and he was, oh, I hate to give my son, but we misread John 3:16, and sometimes we don't read it, we just quote it and we don't listen to it. Listen slowly to John 3:16. For God so loved. In other words, he said, here's my son. I'll execute him. I'll let his blood drip from the cross. I'll let his life's blood be taken from him because I delight in redeeming you. And that baffles me. When I think about that and think, God, you want, you delight, you love, there is something that changes about our devotion at that point. You don't have to go to church. You want to go to church. You don't have to give. You want to give. You don't have to serve. You want to serve. Why? Because, God, you do it because you just delight. You love me. And I tell you, if that don't change your focus in your life and do something in your spirit, then something's radically wrong. You know, the picture is God said, I so love you. So love you that I'm going to redeem you. It's going to cost me everything that I've got in my son. You'll never know for eternity. I'm fully convinced it will take us eternity to understand. Here is Jesus Christ. Before he came into the world, he didn't have the name Jesus Christ. That's what his earthly name was. Forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And if I could say that for a million years. And then God dropped him into the earthly scene. Why? Because out of the heart's flow of God, he wants you to realize, and he wants me to realize, the delight of His love. You know, there's a passage in Psalms. David says it. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of your heart. I didn't know how all that played out. And sometimes you say, now, Lord, am I delighting in You? He just says it. He said, you delight in the Lord, He'll give you. Why do you do that, God? Because I want you to know exactly, precise. I don't want to be a religion. And you know the sad part about it is, so many people will live and die, and God will be no more than a religion to them. Jesus will be no more than a religion to them. Come to church, leave church, come to church, leave church, come to church, leave church, come to church. And they'll never get it. They'll never realize the love of God. And they'll never give the love of God away because it just don't sink. And then lastly, God orchestrates His best only through a personal relationship. You know, you and I know that better than 2,000 years ago, God told a precious young virgin that she would bear a son. They were to call His name Jesus because He would save His people from their sin. God knew that mankind was on a collision course with death. And same thing today. Everybody that don't know Jesus is on a collision course with death. And you see, God gave His Son for the simple reason that you had no rescue. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody drown on television. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody washed away. But there are sometimes these shows that do come on, and a person is almost rescued, but almost don't count. They're swept away and they can't find them anymore. And ever so often you'll see that on a highlight, see that, and they can't find the person. And days later, they'll find the body. Friend, if you and I didn't get rescued, we're gone. Our eternity, our residence is hell. Our future is a consignment to the torments. But that's not what God wants, and that's what God did in your life and my life. And you see, God did everything He could. He initiated all things for His glory and the benefit of man. Why? Because He knew that through His Son, there's going to be a large family. I love what I read some time ago, and I never had seen it in print anywhere. God has always loved family. And I thought, well, that's appropriate. And then the next phrase, God has always lived within family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God has many sons and daughters who responded. And you see, when you look at the Christmas story, you think, God demonstrating His love, but carry it out. Don't just leave it to yesteryear. God is going to love me in the morning. And when I wake up and think, Father, You love me today. You love to protect me. You love to protect my little old car going up and down the road. And it's not little when you see other vehicles coming and they could wipe you off. I mean, you really feel little then. God, You love to guide me. And when you stop and realize the sovereign of the universe is your dad. Dad, You run this world and You love me, so I'm asking for Your protection. There is something wonderful that begins to happen in your soul and in your spirit. That's just hard to describe. There is that utter security. There is that utter inner awareness that it doesn't matter. Your Father's controlling your circumstances, and He has a way of doing things that no man can understand. And you see, when you understand these simple life lessons, it's amazing how life changes. You don't wake up dreading every morning, because here's why. You wake up every morning with God loving you, leading you, directing you. You say, well, you don't know where I live. You don't know where I work. You don't know my circumstances. Tell me in the morning you're going to wake up without the love of God over you. Tell me in the morning God's not going to love you. Tell me in the morning God's not going to direct you. Well, I just don't know. Don't matter if you don't know. It may affect your head, but here's the reality. The Bible makes it clear. His love is aimed at you. the more I realize my wife loves me, in almost 30 years now, here's what you don't fight against one another. You realize, you know, she's got my best in mind. She's got my back. She's trying to, and here's the reality. Our God loves us. And everything He orchestrates into our life is always, invariably, going to be for our best if we'll listen, follow, and obey. And Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Right now, You're loving every one of us. You're not loving us to get anything out of us. You just love to love on us. That's who You are. You love to lavish us with that love so we can love a world that is so wondering about love. Lord, there's so much misunderstanding and so many people are distrusting. But Lord, when You love through Your people, there is a difference. And Father, tonight, in the morning, tomorrow afternoon, next week, next month, Your love is going to be aimed at us, and it's going to be personal. You're going to personally love us. You're going to personally lead us, and never can You lead us wrong. You can never lead us astray. And even when we're scared, You know exactly how to bring the comfort that we need. Father, thank You. Thank You for that love that's real, that's intimate, that's personal. And Father, may it become a living reality in us. So much so that it just exhumes, it just is released through our life by the precious person of the Holy Spirit. Father, this year some are going to find doors that are closed, but they'll be closed out of love. They're going to find some that are open. They're open out of love. Challenges out of love. And Lord, we thank You. Now, Father, may these life lessons be etched in our spirit is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.